Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You're listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Russ, K5TUX, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, welcome everybody to episode number 214 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet, and this is the Ides of March.
Beware the Ides of March.
The day after Pi Day, on which we lost Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest minds of all time.
Yes. So,
and that's not a hoax. I think widely confirmed at this point.
Yeah.
I was surprised, actually, to not hear that much about it or see that much about it on Facebook. Maybe there was more about it than I saw, but I didn't see much.
Yeah, there's a lot like on Reddit. In fact, they tried to collapse everything because there was like too many threads, and they're like, "No, this is a super mega thread. Just put everything in here."
Super mega string, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it was all over Twitter, and there was some on Facebook. Not too much.
Yeah. Oh well, he's probably getting a better look at Hawking radiation right now.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we're going to start with The Weekender, which is what this is when we record on Thursday nights. And this is episode 5 of The Weekender. We've done 5 of these. Well, we've done 4. We're doing 5.
Yes.
And the first thing we're going to talk about is some amateur radio stuff like contests that you could participate in this weekend. So who wants to tell us about some contests? Bill, you usually do this, so you can.
Yes, right. I will do the contest. So, yeah, we have the this weekend we have the BART G HF RIDI Sprint. And this is a, well, 2-day sprint. Not very sprintish. Most sprints last only a few hours here and there, but this is going on this weekend. So if you haven't had your fill of RIDI yet this season, here's yet another opportunity to blast it out there from your rig. We also have the Louisiana CUSO party. That is running from March 17th through the 18th as well, 1400 Zulu to 200 Zulu. And along with that, Virginia is also having their CUSO party, and it looks like they're split up in the days, 1400 Zulu to March 28th at 0400 Zulu, and then from 1200 Zulu on March 18th to 2400 Zulu. So, so a couple of good CUSO parties. We also have the Feld Hell Leprechaun Sprint. This is a special event or special sprint, and you get extra points if you find the leprechaun stations. And apparently you can find it, 4 times for a maximum of 200 bonus points?
That is my understanding from the rules that I saw.
Yeah. So check that out. If you haven't played with Feld Hell before, it's pretty fun. You could do it on FL Digi. And it looks like a ticker tape. That's all I can... it's a very visual way of QSOing. So if you haven't checked it out, I check it out anyways just because it's really cool to see it in action. And next weekend, because we won't be here next week, we only do this every other week.
Well, we are actually going to do it next week because we skipped a week. Yes. We were supposed to do it last week. See?
Yes, so. Okay, well, just hold out. Next weekend, there's the CQ Worldwide WPX contest. So,
but you'll hear more about that next time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next weekend, but that's the only really cool one going on next weekend. Of course, watch, there'll be somebody that sends us a feedback that says, "No, there's other cool contests. You shut up." So this weekend, we also have a couple of special event stations that popped on the radar. We have the Cherry Blossom Festival, W4 Bravo Kilo Mike on March 17th from 1400 Zulu to 200 Zulu. He'll be having a certificate available for this particular special event station. And I didn't actually look at what it is for. It's the Macon Amateur Radio Club. So
I couldn't really find much information about it, but I saw several sites that referenced it. So
yeah, All right. Well, we have a link to the website in our show notes, so check that out and find out more information if cherry blossoms are your thing. Also, this weekend, we have the St. Patrick's Day on the air, March 16th from 1200 Zulu to March 18th, 1200 Zulu. So a full 2 days there. Awards will be in four categories. An SPD station award for registered stations, a fixed station award, a mobile station award, and a shortwave listener award. So if you just like to listen, a little bit of a voyeur on the bands, you can get an award for just listening and logging. So there is still time to register your station. Check out their website, and it's linked in the show notes.
And there's also a Facebook page about it as well. So it's all over the place. So kiss the Blarney Stone on the air, or whatever, yes, whatever you do as an Irish person. So
go chase some four-leaf clovers this weekend.
Exactly. And the leprechaun. Don't forget
or
the leprechaun.
Or some green beer. You need some green beer, too.
I wonder if they will send the leprechaun. I wonder if they figured out a way to send a leprechaun in Feldhell. I bet they have.
Oh, I'm sure you could probably send, what do you call those things?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Fancy ASCII symbols and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just wondering if they put something together that looks like a leprechaun and that's what you're supposed to find.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I guess I'll have to read the rules and figure that out.
Yeah, I might. Well, I got something going on Saturday, but I might give it a try because it's in the early afternoon. So maybe it'll work out for me. But we also have an announcement. The LHS Hamvention campaign on Indiegogo should be up by this weekend. I'm really hoping it will be, and if not, it will be up shortly afterwards. So look out for that, because Hamvention is really not that far away.
63 days.
Yeah, I know.
63 days.
Shockingly close.
It's getting really close. I was just talking to my son about it today. Because he's getting out of college on the 5th. He's got to move out of the dorm. And I'd mentioned it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to Dayton at the end of the month. He's like, oh, you're going to Dayton? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, I don't know. I might want to come. I was like, cool. You're going to be sleeping in the car then.
Yes, you will. I can assure you of that. Unless you, I don't know, maybe you can sleep on the pool deck or something. I don't know.
There you go. There you go. Well, it'll be last minute. He'll bring a sleeping bag. Worst case.
All right. Also, we have our, well, my self-proclaimed LHS challenge for this weekend, and this is the Ham Radio Challenge, and I would challenge everyone, in light of what we talked about in the last episode, or the last deep dive episode, that is, to go out there and make yourself an SSTV contact. Not just, you know, watch pictures roll in on your QSSTV, but actually go and complete a QSO and log a contact using SSTV. Good luck to you.
That sounds really hard.
Well, you only have to do one. I mean, it's not that hard, really. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I left that running for quite a while, and I was just logging into that box right now to see how many actual pictures I I picked up. Was it QSSTV? There it is. Yeah, QSSTV. I think I had like about 6 or 7 pages worth of people and their pictures sent over.
Well, see, there you go. The bands are active, so you should easily find contacts on ZoScan. So,
oh, I take that back. 20 pages. 20 pages of images.
Yeah, easily. You can easily make a ZoScan contact. Easy, easy. Easy peasy. Yeah. Yep.
Even Hawaii and a bunch of other places. Yeah. So it's open. It was definitely on 20. All of mine were on 20.
Yeah. I believe I had mine on 14, 230 as well. It's a pretty popular band.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a surprise.
All right. So moving on, we're going to talk about some open source kind of stuff you can do this weekend if you so choose. And one of those things might be to try out a new distribution. And I picked one sort of at random called Neptune OS. It's a GNU Linux distribution for desktops based on Debian 9.0, that's the stretch version, with a newer kernel, updated drivers, and modern KDE Plasma desktop. They are using 4.14, so that is a relatively new kernel. Neptune's focus is based on being a good-looking multimedia system, which allows for getting work done, so it's useful, too.
Imagine that.
It is also flexible and useful on USB sticks with a USB installer application as part of it and persistent creator that allows storage of changes to removable media. So it might be useful in portable situations. And that's something that ham radio operators need.
Yeah.
Neptune also ships with an elegant, simple look and is loaded with multimedia tools, including codecs, flash support, players, and editors for both video and audio. So if you want to play around with a new distribution that you've never heard of, but it's based on one you have, try Neptune OS. I might actually do that. I downloaded it today. I just haven't had a chance to start up a virtual machine and actually play with it.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of Plasma and KDE. I mean,
I'm not either, but I would like to revisit it to figure out why that I am not, because I've forgotten the reason, even though I remember that I don't like it.
It was too, for me, it reminded me too much. I mean, at least the last versions that I used with any length of time, it kind of reminded me of how Windows 7, not Windows 7, it was like when they started adding like the live desktop stuff onto Windows. And they had all these like containers on the desktop you could make, and I just thought it was horrible. Just look like crap. The last thing I'm bad enough. I leave 1,000 icons on my desktop. I don't do that on any of my Linux boxes, surprisingly. But then again, all my work is generally not downloading and building files and stuff like that on those. yeah, I'm just not a fan.
All right,
Budgie forever.
yeah. All right. Well, like I said, I'm going to give it a shot and see what it's like. Anyway, if you want to try something new this weekend, Neptune OS. And I'm going to call on Cheryl to do the next story, because this one is actually happening not this weekend, but next weekend, but it's probably worth mentioning twice. So go ahead and you can do that one. I'll wait till she scrolls down to the part where we're at.
What am I doing?
The events.
Okay, under Neptune?
Yes, that one.
Okay. Okay, so the event is Libre Planet 2018. It's March 24th and 25th at Stratus Center at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Libre Planet is an annual conference hosted by the Free Software Foundation for free software enthusiasts and anyone who cares about the intersection of technology and social justice. For the past 10 years, Libre Planet has brought together software developers, law and policy experts, activists, students, and computer users to learn skills, celebrate free software accomplishments, and face challenges to software freedom. Newcomers are always welcome, and Libre Planet 2018 will feature programming for all ages and experience levels. You know, and I bet Mad Dog is going to be there.
I don't know if he is, but Richard Stallman is. If you want to get close to the head of GNU, then you can go to Libre Planet in Massachusetts. Not this weekend, but next weekend. Right. And yep, we'll mention it again, I'm sure. So I also threw in an open source challenge for our listeners this weekend. If you want to do something open sourcey, you can find and use a command line tool in Linux that you haven't used before, or use a tool that you have used before in a new and unusual way. So because, you know, that could be fun to do. I actually used a command that I have used before and not in a new and unusual way, but it's been so long since I used the command that I forgot that it was a command until I needed it. And that is the time command. Which doesn't do what you think it does. It does not show you the time. That's what date does.
It's for counting, right? So you could count how long a process runs.
That's right. It times a process, and it gives you the user space time, the system space time, and the actual time of the execution of a process. So that's pretty useful, and it actually came out really handy for me today. So, which is why that's sort of in here. But
yes, I've used that before. I would like to see more awk, grep, and sed stuff, because you can never get enough of those tools.
So since you brought up awk, I will mention that there is a 10-part now, and I think advancing to more than 10-part series on Hacker Public Radio all about awk. So if you ever wanted to learn about awk, subscribe to Hacker Public Radio, and apparently it's a very, very good Audible tutorial on awk. So
I do subscribe. I don't think I've heard any of them, but I might have skipped through some of them.
It's earning high praise on the mailing list for Hacker Public Radio. So apparently it's done quite well. So if you want to learn awk, I would recommend that. And also getting the awk book. It's small.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, the O'Reilly awk book. I don't know what the animal is for the awk book. If someone would like to look it up. I
probably have it out in my box.
I'm looking now.
Because, as we know, all the O'Reilly books have an animal, like spirit animal, and I have forgotten what the Ock book is, but
yeah.
I probably have the old Pearl book. Want that one?
I think I have the Pearl book.
It looks like... What is that?
Apparently it's one of those odd animals. Maybe it's an aardvark or something to do with
no,
Ock?
No. It almost looks like... it doesn't look like that either.
Well, I don't know what that is, I can't speak to what it doesn't look like.
I'm thinking to myself here. And it doesn't say anything in the description about what the book is or what the animal is. So,
yeah, generally they have it on the inside cover.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
they talk about that. Looks like they have a book on Set and Ock together.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
And that's the one I'm looking at.
There used to be an effective Ock programming book that was out in 2015.
Let's see if it gives me.
And it has some kind of bird on there.
Apparently it's their lorises.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have to go up and look what a loris is.
That is.
Yeah, so. it's a loris. Loris is the common name for the strepsirrhine primates of the subfamily Lorisidae in the family Lorisidae. Loris is one of the genus of subfamily included in the slender lorises. Oh, for crying out loud, what is it?
It's a small, slow-moving nocturnal primate with a shorter, absent tail living in dense vegetation in southern Asia.
It's an ugly little monkey.
That's right. That's right.
I think we bored Dave. Dave's talking about antennas in the chat room. So,
I have to now say that I must implore if anyone from the Ubuntu... You know, and Canonical is listening to this, that when you get to the L release, it must be some kind of loris, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because what was L the last time around?
Lucid? No.
Lucid Lynx, that's right. It was Lucid Lynx. So it has to be a loris.
Yeah, lilac loris or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Loopy loris.
Loopy loris, yeah.
That sounds good.
Lazy loris, since it's a slow moving.
Oh, that's true. Lazy loris. That would actually be fantastic. All right. So let's see. When would L come back around? How many releases is that?
No, we're on Bionic Beaver now, so it'll be a while.
Yeah, it'll be a while. It's going to be many years, actually. So, oh, well. You got time to think about it. If it actually, I hope when L comes out, I remember this and go back and see if they actually did it. But
they probably won't.
Probably not.
Yeah, we'll be in the 20th year of the podcast. But
yeah.
Hello, folks.
Yeah.
We have to get
a scratchy radio sound. Yeah.
Welcome to the aging.
Yeah, exactly.
Linux in the ham shack.
Yeah. All right. So we're down to Cheryl's recipe corner. So, and you just threw one in here, but it is relevant to this weekend. So
it is relevant to this weekend. So Russ and I have not tried this before the podcast started. We were talking about the fact that we're having a poker game this weekend and we're going to fix Irish food. And this was one of the items that we're going to fix for dinner since we feed all of our poker players. But it got shoved aside for pasties from one of our local food trucks. So anyway, this is on our own to-do cook list because to me it sounds wonderful. So anyway, the recipe I picked this week uses a slow cooker, and it's for Irish Dublin coddle. And in that, you need a pound of breakfast sausage with sage, if possible, and smooth casings.
Well, it's not like you can't just add sage, right?
The sausage needs to have sage in it.
Well, it's a coddle, though. It's a stew. So
I would not add sage to the stew.
Yeah, see, that's... Shows you what I know about cooking.
Yeah, no, I would not add sage to the stew.
Okay.
Yeah. 3/4 of a pound of bacon, or is that a three? Yeah, that is a three. 3/4 of a pound of bacon, 2 cups of low sodium beef broth, a garlic clove minced, 2 small onions chopped into fairly large chunks, 1 pound of potatoes or sweet potatoes, your choice, peeled and cut into chunks, 1 pound of carrots, peeled and cut into chunks. This is optional if you don't want to throw them in, but you do need your potatoes, obviously. 2 tablespoons of parsley chopped and some salt and pepper. Cook your bacon and sausage until it's fully browned, drain any grease, and throw all of the rest of it in your slow cooker with the bacon and sausage. Stir until combined and cook on high for 2 to 3 hours or low for 4 to 6. and poof, you have dinner.
Yep, you have a nice coddle.
Yeah.
I wish that the English and the Irish wouldn't come up with names that sound like disgusting things when they name food.
Do you know why the name came out about coddle? Or why it came to coddle?
No, is it like a offshoot of curdle?
No. It's actually because husbands would be at the bar until the crack of dawn. Wives would get up, would be tired of waiting for them to come home and eat dinner. So they would leave this simmering on the stove to coddle them like a baby. So they would have something to eat when they got home.
So in other words, I should never expect coddle.
You get coddled plenty, dear.
Now you just say screw it and go to bed. Forget making coddle.
Sometimes I do that. So.
Yeah. All right. So cool. Sounds good. And I'm looking forward to trying it whenever we get around to actually making it.
Hopefully soon, because it sounds really good.
Let's see. I'm seeing something in the chat room about bolt cutters and torches. I'm not sure if I want to go down that road.
I wouldn't look.
Yeah, I asked Dave to come fix my antenna since he's doing such good work on his home antenna there. So I guess he just wants to chop mine down. That'll be fine. Yeah, chop that one down and we'll build the DX Voyager and put that one up. That'll be fine.
Well, there you go. You're making progress.
Yeah. I probably get that up. I'm hoping when my other son gets home for Easter, he'll probably help me build the antenna.
Okay, our colleges here are on spring break currently, so.
Oh, he's working full time this week.
I see.
He decided he couldn't get enough days off together to come back home for the week, so he's like, "Ah, screw it, assign me up for full time. I'll just work all week." He's so responsible.
Oh yeah, must get it from his mother. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh wow.
<Ba-dum-boom>. All right. So anyway, we'll move on from Cheryl's Recipe Corner to my Drink Corner. And because we were in New Hampshire for a week last week and didn't record, I was able to go buy some cheap scotch. And that doesn't mean it's cheap scotch. It means it's scotch inexpensively because
New Hampshire is one of
the five states in the union that does not have a sales tax. And they also have
cheaper booze too.
Yeah, state-run liquor stores that have a sort of monopoly on, or a close to monopoly on, hard liquor sales, and they offer it very inexpensively. So I picked up a couple. The other one I won't mention because I'll be reviewing it on the next weekender.
Right.
So this one I chose a Speyside Scotch that's bottled at 40% alcohol. That's 80 proof. It's called Glenmorangie 12 year. It is chill filtered. It has, I put pale yellow on the color, but it does have a little bit of sort of a honey tone to it. Just a little bit. I guess it depends on what you're looking through it at. But, you know, whatever. Color is not really that important when it comes to a scotch. And, you know, some of the deeper colored ones just kind of look sexier, I guess, but they all drink the same.
You know, so. I don't really think of scotch as sexy, but okay, whatever.
Well, choose your own adjective, I guess.
I see. Gotcha.
For some reason, darker colors just seem more appealing when it comes to hard liquor, but whatever.
That's the reason why that normally comes along with the
hangover. That's like the key to drinking is like you can have clear alcohols, but as soon as you get the colored ones, you start getting the hangover.
Oh, well, I don't get hangovers, so I don't know what that's like.
Oh, well, you just haven't drank enough.
Oh, yes, I have.
No, he has.
Trust me, I have.
Yeah. Fall out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's just effing peachy when he hits the floor and slept the rest of the night on the floor. But he'll also drink a gallon of water before he goes to bed.
Oh, and that's that keeps cheating.
Yeah, that's cheating.
I don't feel like waking up with a headache. I mean, that's just the way I am.
Well, that's what a hangover is.
I know that's what a hangover is. That's why I don't want one.
You prevent them. You preempt them.
That's right. I preempt them.
So. But he still goes to bed plenty drunk on more than one occasion. Yep. So
probably pisses himself too with all that water in him.
No. I don't actually.
It looks like a sprinkler over there.
Oh, you guys are a riot. So back to my scotch review. Thank you very much for all that.
Well, you know, it's kind of that color.
Yeah, well, it's a little darker than me. if your pee is this color, you might want to see a doctor.
Might not be drinking enough water.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So the nose on it, I got the nose from a review, and then I sniffed it myself because that's usually how I do this, and I got a scent that they didn't. So what I did taste was, or what I did smell, rather, was the clover honey. It has the sort of clove taste and the honey. Regular cereal grain, just like, you know, malted barley, regular grain, just sort of a neutral grainy scent.
Like Cheerios?
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that, actually. Yep. A little bit, not quite as sweet, I guess, as Cheerios, because those have sugar in them, and this not the regular. Oh, not the regular ones. Okay, so probably just like a Cheerio then. And the other thing I got in this was cherry, which it's sort of like, it's almost like a chocolate covered cherry, but not quite that ridiculously sweet. But there's definitely cherry in it to me. So let me go ahead and taste it, which I have already done, by the way. But
yeah, because you're drinking at your parents' house.
Yes. So. So the taste that I get now is basically the taste that I see listed here that I put down from before, which is sort of a light cream taste, a little bit of vanilla. Those aren't as forward as the green herbal notes to it. It definitely has a, like a fresh herb taste to it, complemented by cream and vanilla, a little bit of light winter spice, like wintergreen, peppermint, something along like that. Not very much. And then honey sort of at the end on the finish, which is interesting because it's forward on the nose, but at the very end on the palate. So whatever you make of that. It's not terribly complex. It is pretty smooth. It's a chill filtered scotch, and it's cheap, like I mentioned before. I got this bottle. It's a 12-year-old scotch, and I got it for like right at $35. So very approachable if you can find it. And while it's not like exceedingly great, it's a good introductory scotch because it's sort of semi-dry, and you would probably like it if you tried it, especially for as inexpensive as it is. So I'm going to give it a rating of 82. I think a good solid B minus is where you would find this at, and that's probably what you should expect for $35 a fifth. So.
I think Bill just fainted and fell out of his chair.
Yeah, maybe so.
No, well, I'm in the basement, and that was my daughter going into one of the rooms.
Gotcha.
So. This doesn't have a gate or anything on it, so it will pick up anything that's loud in the room, like a door shutting.
So anyway, that's the Glenmorangie 12-year, and next year there will be a new 12-year, and I'll tell you about that next week, not next year. Next week there will be a new 12-year, and I'll tell you what that is next week.
So, no, I bet there'll be a new one next year too.
New one next year too. So, Bill, do you have something you want to review?
Yeah, I'm drinking a beer.
Is it like a Bud Light? If it's a Bud Light, you can't review it.
No. This one is from Harvest Moon Brewing Company. It's in Belt, Montana, and this is called Pig's Ass Porter. And it's an original London-style porter. It's very, very good. I mean, porters are generally hit or miss. At least they are with me. I mean, you know, you can easily screw up a porter. You know, too much flavor in it. All of a sudden, it kind of gets like a weird sour notes, and it just doesn't taste right. But like this one has just a really smooth, very smooth a flavor to it. It's nice and dark. It is, let's see. How much alcohol is in it? I don't know.
A good porter should be like at least 7%. So
I'm surprised it doesn't say on the bottle.
I think it's required to say somewhere.
I'm looking. Oh my goodness.
I'm looking it up.
Well, I want to look it up too, just because I want to look up Pig's Ass Porter.
Yeah, it's got a picture on the cover.
5.7.
It's only 5.7.
Yep.
What a worthless
porter. It's a little light.
Yeah,
it's a little light, but it's nice and smooth tasting. It's quite delicious, and yeah, not bad. It was on sale. It was on clearance at the grocery store.
Well, that's why, because it's a pussy porter.
It's almost, you know, almost affordable at that point. No, but it's pretty good, and I just like the name, Pig's Ass. That's just kind of sharp. The only good thing in Belt, Montana, at least that I know of.
All right. Take that, Belt, Montana. All right. So I think we're down to the end. I did not choose any music for this episode, so it's just going to be us blabbing away about various things. I guess we can run over to the chat room and comment on the fact that Photo Jim is in there, and he was VE, what was it?
V-E-I-S.
V-E-5-E-I-S. We have Dave, KB0-O-W-D, with us as well. And there was one other person, was there not?
Let's see. Earlier, Cubicle Nate was in there. I don't see anybody else.
No, I guess I don't see anybody else in there either. And there is probably a few people on the stream, but I'm too lazy to check. So hopefully everyone got something out of this. And if you didn't, then this will be released so you can listen to it before the weekend and do all of these cool, crazy things. Oh, that was it. Gene, BX8AAD.
Hey, I remember Gene.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything, though, has he?
He just did. That's how I remembered it was.
Look at that.
Yeah, see, Gene told me while I was gone that I needed to study every day.
Yep, you need to study every day.
I did not study every day.
Just have it right next to the toilet. That's all you need.
I couldn't even get a free moment to go to the bathroom. She would literally be standing outside the door going, Cheryl, are you about done in there?
Cheryl, Cheryl,
I'll be out in a second.
I think we are down to it. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this edition of the LHS Weekender. We'll have one again next week so we can catch up and get back on schedule. And, of course, we'll have our regularly recorded episode on Monday as well. We'll probably talk about, like, post-leprechaun hunting drinking or something. Who knows?
Or something. Yeah.
You know, this is when everybody gets green and drunk. It's St. Patrick's Day. So
No, green is not required.
if you don't want to get pinched, it is.
Yeah. You're around a bunch of pinchers.
All right, so we're going to sign off for now. So thanks, everybody, once again. I'm Russ, K5TUX. That's...
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And where it's finally, like, getting above freezing, I guess.
That's right. I could use my Moretti lighter today. So it's definitely getting warmer in Montana. 73, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Our website is located at lhspodcast.info. You can support the program by visiting the LHS Patreon page of patreon.com/LHSpodcast or using the contribute link on the website. Get in touch via social media. The show has a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Or you can drop an email to info@lhspodcast.info or record a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Visit the IRC channel, LHS Podcast, on the Freenode IRC network. Also visit the online merchandise store at shop.lhspodcast.info for fun and fashionable LHS merchandise. Become an ambassador and represent LHS at a Linux convention or hamfest. Email ambassadors@lhspodcast.info or visit the website for details. The podcast is recorded live every Monday night at 8:00 p.m. Central Time. Connect to the stream at stream.blacksparrowmedia.net/8008/LHS live. Until next time, over and out. Linux in the Ham Shack and the Linux in the Ham Shack logo are released under a Creative Commons Attribute Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.